Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an Hakim has stated and states that the zalim, the oppressor, I don't give him the full punishment in this world, on the planet earth, in this dunya. For the zalim, Allah ta'ala says, for the oppressors, azab, punishment has been allocated, but time is being given to that person, or a chance is being given to those people until that day when their eyes, when they will be gaping open wide, and it will stay like that. And this is the verse of the Quran that Allah Ta'ala mentions this clearly, that the zalimeen, Allah Ta'ala doesn't give the full punishment in this dunya. The zalim, the definition of a zalim is the person who does dhulam, who oppresses, who commits wrong. What is dhulam? Injustice. Person who meets out injustice. The person who doesn't practice justice, he is the zalim, the oppressor. For example, if a person is unjust, anything, in any way or form, there are different ways. For example, in the family structure, if a person isn't good with the wife and the children, he doesn't give them their dues, their rights, he doesn't fulfill their haqq, their rights. He makes them do things which are not within their haqq. He forces the wife, do this. No, you're doing this. If you don't do this, I'll be disrespected and people laugh at me. And this is not in the haqq of the wife or the family members, and he forces them to do something. All of this is injustice, and this person is a zalim, an oppressor. So who is the Quran addressing? We need to understand this. These people are also zalim, the example I've just given. In the same way, a person works somewhere and he doesn't fulfill his duty, he doesn't give the full right that's due, he delays the work or doesn't work hard, this is also injustice, and this person is also the zalim. Person has a business, carries out business, and the people who work for him, they are in his employees, and he doesn't treat them nicely, he doesn't treat them fairly, he doesn't give them wages on time, buying and selling is not correct, doesn't give them the holidays or the rules and regulations, the government regulations, he does not treat the employees fairly. So he's a zalim, the boss is a zalim, and all of this comes into the realm of dhulam. So we have to understand here, in any place, in anywhere, in any situation, if a person is unjust, then what does he become? The zalim, the oppressor. And the zalim, there are different types of zalimeen. The biggest zalim is that person. The biggest zalim, the biggest unjust person is that person who does zulm with his Rabb, with his Khaliq, with his Master, with his Lord, with his Creator. How? The biggest zulm is that when a person doesn't believe in his Lord, or he does shirk against his Lord. So this is zulm. This is the biggest zulm. This is oppression. The person who Allah created us, He gives to us, He feeds us, it's His universe, He controls everything, and we don't believe in Him. And if we believe, we are fussy, for this reason, I'll do it for this reason, so we'll have shirk, we'll include conditions in our belief. And this is dhulam, and these are the biggest zalims. After that, there's another category of zalim, that Allah, they believe in Allah, they recognize Allah, they know Allah, but they don't believe or follow the orders of Allah. They don't respect the orders of Allah. They don't want to implement. So one is those who don't believe, and those who believe and still reject. So who are these people? Zalimeen. They are zalim and they commit zulm, oppression. This is wrong. That Allah Ta'ala, we believe in Him. You have belief in Him. You know that Allah Ta'ala is there. You know that these are the orders of Allah's ahkams, but you don't practice on them. We don't practice the ahkams. So that is a zalim also. If he's not, what else is he? So now we understand that the zalim in the world, Allah Ta'ala says, I don't give him the full punishment in this world. So all categories of zalimeen come here. Whichever situation they're in, they are all zalim. Allah Ta'ala says, I have included them with the title Dhulm, may Allah forgive. That we also live in this society. We don't know which category we may be in. Let's analyze ourselves, reflect. What are we? Where are we? Because the scanner is there, the x-ray machine that will show through ourselves of what are our mistakes, what are our wrongdoings, what are the actions we are doing or not doing. So alhamdulillah, if we do our scan, then the diseases will be shown. If you don't go to the doctor, if you don't have a scan, or then the cancer continues to spread. And the doctor says, you came too late. فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضًا Allah Ta'ala says, فَزَادَمُهُ اللَّهُ مَرَضًا That if you had done your scan, then you would have killed off or eliminated that disease. But now that disease has spread. So alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah, beautiful moments of Ramadan. Allah Ta'ala is explaining to us, scan yourself, analyze yourself, and look at the diseases that are within you. Now this topic, who is refreshing these topics for us? Ramadan. The beautiful month of Ramadan is come to make us understand, analyze ourselves, reflect within ourselves. Why do you waste your time in life? You go to masjids, you go to different places during the... But this is the time, asal. The time is passing. Are we zalim or not? Am I a zalim or not? If I'm a zalim, where am I committing the oppression, the wrong actions? On which situations? If I am not doing shirk, then let's come to the laws of Allah. If we leave the laws of Allah, then there's other points. All of these actions come under zulm. There are different categories, isn't it? Either we do zulm with Allah, or we believe in Allah and we do zulm with Him, or we do zulm with His makhluk, His creation. There are three categories. All of them are zalim. The one who doesn't believe, the one who believes and breaks Allah Ta'ala's ahkams, or those who oppress the creation of Allah. Allah Ta'ala says, all of these three categories of people, I don't give them total punishment in the world. Don't think this is a punishment. You have an accident, or you're ill severely. This is not punishment, or your business has gone down. Oh, Allah has punished me. No. Or you're severely ill. Oh, this is a punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, no, I don't give the total punishment. These are not punishments. These are just trials. These are just tests. These are just the jolts and the shaking. Earthquake comes, or storm comes, or tsunami comes, or someone at home is ill. Somebody becomes disabled, or has a stroke, or has a different illness. These are not punishments. Allah Ta'ala says, this is not the total punishment. Think what is Allah Ta'ala's punishment, which Allah Ta'ala has allocated, which Allah Ta'ala gives. What is that punishment? The Quranic verse, beautiful. In this moment of Ramadan, subhanallah, this opportunity of Ramadan, the heart is getting strong because we realize, and when an ill person knows that he is ill and realizes his sickness, he's happy. Oh, at least I found out I'm sick. But we are such people, sick people, that within seconds Allah Ta'ala can solve the sickness. Within seconds. Within seconds. Look how important is this statement. There is a severe illness. Oppression, we go to the dunya, you scan, you go to hospital, you got cancer here, you got a tumor, okay, that's good, I found out. So then starts the treatment, chemotherapy and the laser treatment, etc. But this is a severe illness that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning. Oppression, dhulam. O zalim, Allah Ta'ala says, then the dunya won't give you the punishment. I've praised, I've defined what is the zalim. Which category of dhulam are we doing? What am I doing? Allah Ta'ala's laws, do I believe in them? Do I practice them? The ibadat Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Do I practice the biggest fard action, 5 times salah with jama'ah in the masjid? Not in your home, in the masjid. 5 times salah with jama'ah in congregation in the masjid, not in the shop, not in the house, not in the business premises, not in the warehouse. Where's jama'ah? In the masjid. Fard, the biggest fard on every Muslim. Allah Ta'ala says, stop everything, close down everything, get to the masjid. Wherever you are busy, doesn't matter. Put the padlocks on. That's why every place Allah Ta'ala has given masjid. And person who doesn't pray salah in the masjid is what? What is he? He's a zalim. Scan yourself if you're not going to the masjid. What does Allah Ta'ala call a person who doesn't pray salah in jama'ah? I don't give you the punishment now. Go and lie down in your bed. Lie down on your mattress. I won't give you the punishment. And you get jolts in your life. Even those you won't be able to persevere with. Allah Ta'ala says, but I keep that on hold, the punishment. Mentally, I'll give you issues, but my punishment hasn't started yet for the zalim. The zalim, the oppressor, the biggest sin is to do dhulam. Dhulam. And if you don't do dhulam, in a place if there's no dhulam, Allah Ta'ala says, dhulam, oppression, I don't allow oppression to continue without any end point. Allah Ta'ala says, if there's dhulam being carried out in a place in the world, I wipe away that place in the world, Allah Ta'ala says. We have to be very careful, cautious in our homes, families, outside our wife, children, families, first with our khaliq. Our Creator, the laws He's given to us, the regulations and principles, practice them. Allah says, I don't give the total punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, I've allocated it, I've put it on hold, I won't give the total punishment, I won't give the severity. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, what have I done? I've delayed the punishment. I give a chance. Now look, bend your head, neck down, look into your heart and think, has Allah given me a chance? Has Allah given me a chance that our situation in our lives, that we think we are practicing deen, we think we are fulfilling Allah's laws and orders, myself made deen. Yeah, my salah is correct, my jama'ah is correct. That's all right, don't tell me what to do. I know I'm fine, but I don't practice according to Allah Ta'ala's regulation, which is right and wrong, according to the kitab, according to the direction. No, it's okay, it's fine, I can do what I'm doing, it's all right. That is not deen, Allah Ta'ala says. That's your nafs, your whims and your desires. Allah says, I'm giving you a chance. This is Allah Ta'ala's karam, Allah Ta'ala's shukr, that Allah Ta'ala has given us a chance. Allah Ta'ala says that I give you the opportunity until which time? Until that day. Which day will it be? When the eyes will suddenly burst open wide. Allah Ta'ala says, I give you a chance until that day when your eyes will burst open wide, glaring wide. And Allah Ta'ala says that I give you a chance, an opportunity. And when will that time come? When the last breath will be drawn. The last breath, the eyes will burst open, the mouth opens, the person's in shock when the death comes. But when a person gapes open, the eyes open wide, they burst open wide, he opens to look, isn't it? So what's that person looking at when his eyes suddenly open wide, when the last breath is coming out? He is watching the reality of life. The angels he heard about in life, the angels are going to come, they're going to take your ruh, they're going to take your ruh. So he looks at them, he sees them in a flash, and his eyes suddenly open wide. He's watching the angel. We're looking at that person dying, and he says, have you come? It's not that he can't see, he can see. And then this dunya is finished, and that dunya comes in front. This goes to ghaib, disappeared. His relatives, mother, father, uncles, are all standing, watching him. He can't see them. What can he see? The angel that Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in the hadith, what I'm speaking to you about today. Will that day come or not? And the other day, when the eyes will burst open, which day? The day of judgment. In the Akhirah, that day everyone's eyes will burst open wide to see the reality of what life was on earth and what we did and what we didn't do. Until that day, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you a chance, I give you opportunity. Before your death, I give you chances. What should you do? Allah Ta'ala says that the hisab, the balancing act, that where you are unjust on my regulations, Allah Ta'ala says, fine, I will delay the punishment and let's wait for that times. So what will happen when the eyes burst open wide and where we will be thrown into the grave? Allah Ta'ala says, for that preparation, I'm giving you a chance. I'm giving you a chance to prepare. That don't wander around in the world enjoying yourselves. Allah Ta'ala says, prepare for the grave, for the questions that will be asked, that you will get success in the grave and the hereafter. Prepare for that time. Don't delay for that. Prepare. What do we say? There are three questions, isn't it, in the grave. When a person dies, he's lowered into the grave, everyone will leave his grave. Man Rabbukum, Man Rasulukum, Man Deenukum. Three questions will be asked straight away. When the person dies and he's lowered into the grave and everyone will leave him, Allah Ta'ala says, I give you a chance in the world that you have got time now before you die. Because when you get into the grave, if you're not prepared for these three questions, but if you have prepared and you're lowered into the grave, and the angels will come to ask you these three questions, and if you give the right answers, then you are successful. Then you are successful. But we think that these are the three questions. This is just the success of the grave. This is just the success of the grave. But there's another stage after this, which is the success for Jannah and Jahannam, leaving Jahannam. There are three questions now, there are five. There are five questions. Allah Ta'ala is reminding us here. Ramadan is reminding us. Because Allah Ta'ala says, I delay the punishment. Ramadan says, I give you another Ramadan, Allah Ta'ala says. I give you another Ramadan. Do you understand this? You've got another Ramadan. With the fadl of Allah, you've come, Allah Ta'ala says to Ramadan. So listen carefully, what does the Quran say? That Allah Ta'ala says that I've made you reach to Ramadan, not to fast, to stay hungry and thirsty. Why have I sent you Ramadan? Allah Ta'ala says, I don't send you to the masjids for functions. I don't send you to the masjids to play or to wander around. Allah Ta'ala says, I give you Ramadan for one reason. I've delayed the punishment for one reason. For which purpose? So that you, in reality, really sit in Ramadan and think and reflect upon your life. That these three questions of the grave, don't think that you will succeed and that's it. Where will success be? When on the Day of Judgment, the decisions made on Jannah and Jahannam. Five questions will be asked. There are five questions and Ramadan explaining us this. Upon this, we have to prepare for this. We have to prepare for this. The Day of Judgment. What will be the first question? What will be the first question that Allah Ta'ala will ask? That after that the test will start. The man will stand. Every person who lived on this earth will be stood up. And the first question that will be asked, that come, man, what was the biggest ni'mah that I gave to you? I gave you the age, the life, the years of life. Now tell your Rabb, your Lord, that how did you spend your life in the world? What a beautiful question. What a beautiful question. MashaAllah, what answers people will give at that time? That's when people realize, Allahu Akbar. Somebody will answer in this way, well, can anyone lie on that day? Nobody can lie. The question doesn't arise. Whoever lies, he will not get away with it. The question will be asked, that how did you spend your life? Where did you spend your life? So think now, where did I spend my life? Until now, my life, where have I spent it? Where have I passed it? And what did I do most of the time? You know the actions that are prevalent, the things that have overwhelmed me or overpowered me, overcome me, my brain, my body, my hands, my physical actions, the things that control me and maybe do actions, my desires, and I live according to those desires. So when something overpowers us, a control. Shall I pray? Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And I'm thinking about something. Where shall I go when I leave here? I'm going to pray. Oh, tell him that person I have to do this and I have to do that. 3,000 I'll give to him, 2,000 to him. The thoughts that overpower us that are everywhere, that's not salah. That's not salah. Do you understand the point I'm saying? That what did you spiritually do in the world with your time? Those people who spent the time where they allowed Allah Ta'ala's deen to overpower them. Every moment they had fear of Allah in their eyes, in their bodies, in their hands, in their salah. They don't think about cash. They don't think, oh, I'm doing dhikr, phone is there, messages, text message, WhatsApp, messaging, or play game silent, and he's doing dhikr. This is a joke. Person's pretending. This is deception. Overpower. What is overpowering your mind? Doesn't matter if you're in salah or dhikr, you're in the masjid. What's going through your mind at that time? What do you love? Is dunya in love with you or is the deen in love with you? Are you in love with the deen or are you in love with the dunya at that time? And this is called passing the time. So the person who passes the life with the fikr of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hereafter, grave, what will happen to me? Alhamdulillah, he will give the answer. The Allah, the first question number one, Allah, you know everything, the answer. You have everything that I did. You know what I knew, what I thought, my crying, my tahajjud, everything, my wandering, my talking, my walking. Allah had one pain and feeling that what is going to happen to me in the akhirah. Are there people like this in the world? But we can't see them. We can't see them regularly. Normally, 99.9% should be the Muslims in the world like this. And this is Islam, and this is a Muslim who knowingly, unknowingly, consciously, unconsciously is thinking about Allah all the time. This is the kalima we've recited. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. This is our standard. Fikr of dunya should be empty from our brains. Love of the world, waste of time, activities, thoughts should be empty from our hearts and our brains. Sahaba ikram, the noble companions, the noble companions, the noble companions radiallahu anhum, they lived the life like this. And we're living the life like this. How has our life passed? What have we done? So that was question one. Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment, how did you pass your life? Yes? So there's another question, question two. Allah Ta'ala will pick something from this world. And what is that? The youth. Allah will ask, how did you spend your youth, your young life? So first question one, how did you pass your life? Second question, how did you pass your youth? You know the people who are in the young life, they have no worries, they're relaxed. They think they can do what they want. But Allah says, what did you do in your young life? Oh parents, what did you make your children do in your life? Look, let's look at our children. We leave them in the world on the streets, gangsters, wasting time, unlawful actions. Because in their minds, they have fikr of what? The dunya has overpowered their brains. They say, I'll do this, doesn't matter, I can do what I want. No one can ask me what to do. I want this, I want money, I want wealth. And if I keep giving wealth, the parents say, if the child keeps on bringing wealth home, that's fine. That's fine. It doesn't matter. We don't care about the children. We don't recognize the children. Bring them up properly. After decades, maybe we'll see our children. 3 months, we'll meet our children. Even if we're living in a house, we don't meet them. The people who 6-7 months leave the house, they go to work somewhere, they don't meet the children. But what about the parents who don't even meet their children in the homes? They are zalim. They are oppressors. Brothers, think about this. Akhirah is a reality. For a mu'min, the life is easy, but it's complicated as well if you don't do it properly. If you don't do it properly, don't think Islam is just, okay, it's alright, I'm praying, I'm successful. Question number two, what did you do in your young age? Give me the accounts for your young age, Allah will say. But if you waste your time in your young age, what will be the answer on that day? May Allah forgive. May Allah forgive. Third question. Third question Allah will ask on the Day of Judgment. Deep question. Allahu Akbar. This question will be asked about your maal, your wealth, your money, your earnings. First question, what did you do in your time, in your life? How did you pass your life? Second question, what did you do in your youth? Third, how did you earn? What a big question. What a big question. How did you earn? Where did you earn from? How did you earn? What did you earn? The laws I distributed to the world about earning. Did you earn your wealth in that way? Or did you just do what you wanted to do? Your desires. And did you earn in your way of your desires? What a big question. What a big question. Is this not the scan of our life, brothers, of our iman? This is called scanning your iman and your deeds. Allah Ta'ala will ask, did you point your energy, mind, brains and efforts in earning the way I told you to, according to my regulations? Were those points in your mind the usools of deen? And that this is how you can earn, working, business, halal way, transactions, regulations or business. That Allah Ta'ala says, the laws that I gave you in Islam, you know we're doing for our wife and children. Oh, I'm doing it. Allah Ta'ala said, did you earn for your wife and children in the halal way? Was this my hukam? Was this allowed? Was this lawful? Allah Ta'ala says, is this the way you earned for your wife and children in the lawful way? And did your wife and children allow you to earn in a haram way? When you were earning in a haram way? No, Allah, I was earning for the wife, for the children. I was going here and there, running around. And you don't know about your wife and your children. You're running around in the world like animals. You don't care, and you're saying you're earning for the wife and the children, and you're spending on yourself. You're married 2, 3, 4 times. Wife and children are scattered around the world, and you're running around like an animal. Where's your salah? Where's your dhikr? Where are your children? The person who doesn't give injustice, Allah Ta'ala says, this is the scan today, the MRI scan. Yeah? The scanning machine is out today, Ramadan. Ramadan came to teach us to analyze our lives, to ask, am I right or am I wrong? Allah says, I give you a chance in Ramadan. This is a big question. Mal, how did you earn? Did you earn according to my laws, according to Islam? Was there haram entered into your earnings? Was there not just interest? Not only interest is haram, many other ways of earning are haram. In the country that you're living and you're earning, are you earning according to the laws and the regulations and principles of that country? We have to look at that as well. The laws that are here, taxes and regulations, are you fulfilling those regulations in the country they're living? Sharia says the country you're living in, the country, the land you're living in, a Muslim, when he goes and lives in a country, there's nothing wrong. Do that. But there's one thing where we go wrong. That salah, fasting, etc. They don't tell us not to do these things. We do these things. But madhab deen, it spreads to not just ibadat, but also all the other muamalat. In that, for example, if we are told here, don't pray, you can't go to the mosques and destroy the masjids, don't read Quran, then a person has to say that this land, this country does not suit us for Islam. What's the hukam there? The order that, what do? Hit them? Astaghfirullah. Become unhappy with them? Or be angry with them? No, the soul is, if this land doesn't suit you, your deen, then leave that country. Migrate away. Do hijrah. Migrate away. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba, they did hijrah. Did they do hijrah for money, for wealth, for dunya? No, because they could not practice their deen. It was his home, Makkah al-Mukarramah, his birthplace. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to live there. We are guests here. We've left our lands and come as guests. So it's a big, clear vision that Islam gives. Even if your home locality you can't practice, do hijrah. But if you're living here and you like their laws and you can practice your deen, fine. But if you're living here by force, no, I've got to learn like this, it's haram, but I've got to live here, I've got no other choice, this is wrong. This is injustice if we're doing this. This is injustice. That if we live here and the regulations allow, and it's in accordance with our deen, that's fine. But here, we can't give excuses. We can explain and try to explain. And if they don't understand, then take your... There are many flights that go every day from here. And the person who lives here, then if you're living here by force, and you're doing haram, then you're selling your iman, and you are the zalim, the oppressor. If you're seeing your child, he's getting spoiled, your wife's getting spoiled, your children going off track, compare this, compare with those people. What does our deen tell you? That this is how you should be saved. But why we're sitting here? Why are we sitting here? Are we sitting here to do work of deen? This is not the work of deen, just making a masjid and praying in a masjid. Deen, work of the deen is when you practice Islam according to the law of Allah. This is the work of the deen. Yes, if you are sitting here in this country to earn, to fill your stomach, then you're not living here for the sake of Allah, you're living here for the sake of your stomach, isn't it? But we're sitting here like thieves. If we want to live here, I want money, wealth, comforts, luxuries, and you and your children, your wife, are not practicing deen, then you're living here for your stomach. I ask you, which children here are passing their deen, their life according to the deen of Islam? Which children in our families are passing their lives according to the deen of Islam? If they're not, then we are doing injustice to our families. We are just here for earning. We have sold our iman to earn. We've sold our iman and our deen to earn. And we've sold our children and our wives and our families. We've sold them to earn. We've sold the Quran to earn. Allah Ta'ala says that 99% of our muamalat today are not according to Islam. But even then we've accepted their conditions, have lived here. It's not their fault, it's our fault. If we live in this environment, Allah says the world is open. Go wherever you can and live in the protection of the deen. Allah Ta'ala says that if due to the environment you're in or society or conditions, don't sell your deen, then go and bear and persevere the difficulties and practice your deen in the environment where you can practice it properly. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is called Islam. Yes, if you can practice in this environment without fighting and quarreling and cooperation, and you can practice your deen easy, like we're doing dhikr and praying salah, no one's saying anything to us. Is anyone telling us we can't do this? No one's saying this. No one's stopping us. We're practicing the same way our children should be practicing deen as well. Yes, it's our fault. We need to research if our children are off track. The biggest haq is not giving money, giving cars to our children, give them money stashed in their pockets, give them phones and smartphones. This is not the haq of the children. Haq of giving to the wife and the children is give them that haq which is the biggest right. In other words, Allah Ta'ala's obedience, Allah Ta'ala's servanthood. This is the haq we have to teach the wife and children. Don't give your children the Quran that they are living their life away from the Quran. Opposite from we're teaching our children Quran and they don't practice Quran. Islam doesn't teach this. This is injustice. This is the biggest dhulam. The bigger dhulam. This is a deep subject. I like to go into detail, but I like to speak honestly today, making our children ulama and scholars. Look at their halat, their condition. So it's not important to do that if they're not practicing the deen. They haven't got the love of the deen. The question that Allah Ta'ala asks, dhalim comes first. Allah Ta'ala gives the word dhalimeen. The where did you earn from? Question number three. Allah Ta'ala earned like this. I went to this country and I did everything. I destroyed everything, Allah. I put my money into my pockets and I filled my stomach and I destroyed my deen and my family. And that's what I did. Allah says, well, this is not right. Next question, number four. What is that question? On the day of judgment will be asked. Allah will ask that, okay, you were fine. You earned correctly. Your money was halal. But where did you spend your wealth? Subhanallah. So you got the money. You earn the wealth according to Allah Ta'ala's regulations. You were working, employee, used to earn halal, used to pay tax, and all your accounts were correct. You were fine. That was lawful, your earnings. But where did you spend your earnings? Did you spend in the right way? Did you spend on those paths, on those methods, in the way that was according to my laws, Allah Ta'ala asks? Or did you spend opposite on haram things, on unlawful things, or wasteful things, or excessive things? Scan yourself, Allah Ta'ala says today in Ramadan. Scan yourself. That you, we are proud, Allah, we've earned correct, I'm rich, I've got wealth, I've earned it correctly, properly, lawfully. But now we come to question four. How did you spend your wealth on unlawful things? Allah Ta'ala says, I give you money, and you spent it on kharafat, on sinful things, dunya, dunya, dunya. You will spend on those things, the thoughts and your desires that overpower you. You do sarraf. Allah said, you did sarraf, excess. So much is the shopping in the house. A person, if he's got clothes and he's got enough clothes, no, people are going to laugh at me. Oh, these clothes, I've got to match it with the jumper. And you're earning haram for this. The person who earns halal, he never spends excessive. The person who wastes and saves haram, then he spends on haram. Sarraf, excessive spending. Excessive clothes, excessive things that he doesn't need. The child isn't even born and he makes a plate for the child first. A child is not even born and astaghfirullah, they're making the registration plate for the car on the name of the child on the Mercedes car. Is this not excessive spend? Are we prepared to answer to Allah on the day of judgment for this wasteful spend? Severe questions will come. And these five questions will come. Allah Ta'ala says, on every question, what have I given to you? I've given you a time, chance, opportunity, O zalimeen. Allah Ta'ala says, those who do dhulam, who oppress in the world, I won't give them the total punishment. Allah Ta'ala says, I won't give them the complete punishment. And what will be the complete punishment? Allah says, I don't give the complete punishment. I give time. I give a chance. I give an opportunity. I delay. There are four questions have come, isn't it? Here's the fifth question now. The fifth question. Question five. And then it will be complete. There were three questions related to the qabr. The first three questions in the qabr. But the five questions I've discussed today, the five questions will come on the Day of Judgment. And the fifth question, Allah says, the knowledge I gave you, how much did you practice on it? Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala will say, the ilm that you had, the knowledge, how much did you practice on it? Who will stand there to answer that? There will be a whole long line. And it won't just be the ulama. Everyone, the people who studied in Darul Ulooms, they're alims, they've studied. Why do you look at them that they will be asked this question? We think it will only be the ulama, the scholars will be asked this, and we're saved. La hawla wa la quwwata. Every man who is a Muslim is an alim. Every Muslim is an alim. They are the high class alim who goes Darul Ulum and graduates. But Allah will ask about that ilm. Ilm is knowing. Knowing. Whatever you knew, Allah Ta'ala says. How much did you practice on what you knew? Tell me, hands up. Those people who are listening. Today the whole ummah should... That who doesn't know about salah here, sitting here? Who doesn't know about salah? Praying salah in jama, in the masjid, in congregation. Who is it fardun? Five times. On the males. And the person who does business, running a shop, what is it? Is fard on him. And it's haram to run the shop and the business at that time of salah. Kullun haram. I don't know this, you don't know this, you don't know this. Who doesn't know this then? Now, who should do amal on this? Oh, we've come to this country, I've got a job, it's too hard for me, I can't go. Is Sharia give you this excuse to not pray in jama'ah? So what's the solution? Migrate. Migrate. Leave the land. This is Islam. Yes, so join the line of haq. No, just close your eyes, keep on earning, running around, dunya. No. Allah Ta'ala's first thing, the ilm you've got, the knowledge you've got, every child, every person's got this salah. Salah, Allah Ta'ala has given us such a great, great practice that we cannot refuse. This is the biggest thing, salah, Allah Ta'ala has given to us. We cannot refuse it, ibadah. We are all alims and scholars. Allah Ta'ala will say, who didn't know that you shouldn't lie? Who didn't know that you should earn haram, putting something wrong into somebody's pocket, or to swear to somebody's haram, or to ridicule someone's haram, or to be a hypocrite is haram, to utilize the masjid incorrectly is haram. Everybody knows this, isn't it? So is that person not an alim? Everyone is an alim, and everybody will be punished according to his ilm. If Allah Ta'ala says, I know how much knowledge you had, but Allah Ta'ala, I had this much knowledge, I know I should pray salah and keep the fast, and I should give zakat, and Allah, I had no other ilm apart from this. I didn't know about giving sadaqah. There are people like this. I didn't know that I should give sadaqah, or I should give charity. I only knew these three, four things, praying, zakah, fasting, hajj, the farad you gave to me. I didn't know more than, Allah will say, take him into paradise then. But did he practice according to the ilm he had? And that he will be given the Jannah according to the high level ulama. That he was the alim. So the amount of knowledge you've got, Allah says, you must practice that. That's what you'll be tested upon and questioned upon on the Day of Judgment. So we at least know something about Islam. Are we practicing according to that? According to what we know? From morning till evening, we have to live our lives according to these five questions. Subhanallah, he will pass the test on the Day of Judgment. He will pass the test. And then, the bigger the alim is, the bigger the alim is, the more knowledge he has. Hadith, fiqh, muhaddith, mufassir, the title, shaykhul hadith, shaykh of this, shaykh of that. Then according to that knowledge, Allah will ask that person those questions. Subhanallah. Every kitab will be taken out. Every book, every page, every hadith, every verse. Either they will get high, high grade maqam in Jannah, high, high, high levels, that they will get to the rank, to the heights, to the rewards. They will live close to the prophets. This should be the desire of every mu'min, that we can get the nearness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can be in his neighborhood in paradise. This will be the rewards to those ulama who practice their knowledge. And the amount of knowledge they had, they practice that knowledge, and they will be given the high, high levels in paradise. And if they had knowledge, immense knowledge, and they had the wretchedness, and they betrayed their knowledge, then they will be given the lowest, most lowest, most lowest portions of Jahannam. Either the alim, whatever knowledge a person has, all of us here, if we practice it, we'll go high, high, high in paradise. The more knowledge we have, the higher. But if we didn't practice, then we'll go lower, lower, lower into Jahannam. Everything will be asked. Everything will be asked. What is that verse? It's not coming to my mind straight away. The Allah Ta'ala will say that khashiyat, the ulama, their praise, the definition, is the highest alim, scholar, is that person in whose heart is khashiyat. خشيت من عباد العلماء, that from all of the people, the person will be the strongest, the highest. And who will have the highest maqam? The scholars on the Day of Judgment. And those scholars who had the fear of Allah in their hearts. So remember, from all of mankind, the highest rank in the hereafter will be the person who has ilm. The more ilm, the more scholarly. And the highest scholar, the highest level will be that person who had the fear of Allah. But if he didn't have fear of Allah and he didn't practice his knowledge, then he'll go lower. The lowest, seventh lowest level of Jahannam. So Ramadan has come, and it's come to remind us. And Allah Ta'ala says, where have you been sent? Into a beautiful time this month. Allah Ta'ala has given us Ramadan Mubarak. The blessed month of Ramadan. There's no better chance than this to understand these questions. There's probably no better chance than this. There's probably no greater month, better month, or better day to understand for us dhalim who are sitting. We are dhalim. We do dhulm. We don't practice. If we can't practice, then listen to the message of Ramadan today. Today Ramadan is here with us today, present. And while I'm speaking to you on this point, on this opportunity, this is the end of Ramadan. And the end is happening such that today is Laylatul Qadr, 29th night tonight. And at this time, Allah Ta'ala has put this point into my mind for my islah, for my rectification. Allah, I should scan myself, analyze myself, do my x-ray. Because after tonight, the 29th will go, Laylatul Qadr will go. And if I pass this time without scanning myself, analyzing myself, rectifying myself, then the hadith comes upon me. Rasulullah said that that person who maybe, the person who did not attain forgiveness in Ramadan, he is the biggest loser in this universe. The biggest loser. Who didn't attain his forgiveness. So that night is very close. Laylatul Qadr is upon us, is coming. So brothers, take it seriously, take it seriously. It's a serious event in our life. Serious event. Serious time is coming. For the sake of Allah, brothers, which person is ready? I can't understand that which person doesn't want to pass the exam, those five questions. Who will answer? How did you pass your life? How did you pass your youth? How did you earn? And how did you spend your wealth? So how do we answer these questions? We have to have worry and concern. How can I save myself on the Day of Judgment? Then Allah Ta'ala will ask, most definitely will ask, the questions definitely will come. That is the principle of the hereafter, the law, the principle of the hereafter, the Day of Judgment, that you have to save yourself for. Just a few days, Allah Ta'ala says, I won't punish you here. You enjoy yourself, luxuries, go running around thinking you're enjoying yourself, follow your laws and your principles, but this is not deen, Allah says. This is not my deen. Allah says, I will ask you questions according to my deen. Allah says, I will judge you according to my deen. The questions that will be asked will be judged, the Quran will be open, and on one side I will be stood. And when I said live like this, did you follow my hukums? Allah Ta'ala will ask. Was it like this in the Quran that do this? No. Then run away from it. Punishment. Everything will be compared. Wealth, children, pastime, enjoyment, luxury, travel. Everything will be compared. All our actions will be compared versus the Quran. Quran came for amal, for practice. The maqsad of Quran wasn't hifz. It was amal. Practice. What is the real objective of Quran? This is nur. This is a status, glorifying status, that person does hifz of Quran, he recites Quran, 10, 15 juz at a time he recites. If a person is not a hafiz, if he doesn't recite it, Quran 15, 20 times, a person doesn't know how to read Quran, but his life is in accordance with the Quran, he will pass on the Day of Judgment. He will pass this constitution, he followed Allah Ta'ala's constitution, he will pass. He will pass. That's it. That's the regulation. So this, my brothers, the story of life. Yes, the story of life, it's very important for us. We're at this moment, we're in Ramadan. If we still fall into the trap of nafs today, and we still follow our nafs and pass the rest of Ramadan with our nafs, the last night of Laylatul Qadr, we pass according to our nafs, then Allah's Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that there's no bigger loser than this. There's no bigger loser than this. If we don't clear the answers that we've asked today, and get the right answers today, if we don't clear those answers today, because we have to pass that test on the Day of Judgment, isn't it? The person who passes that test will be saved from Jahannam. We have to clear these answers today, otherwise we cannot be saved from Jahannam, and we have to clear these answers in every single way possible. We have to prepare. Then I will tell you the method. Today this is the last chance, my friends. The last chance, listen clearly. We need to prepare in this life for these answers on the Day of Judgment. Otherwise, who knows after today, after Ramadan, how long we will live. And will we prepare? Because nobody can answer. What's happened has happened. And we can't guarantee what's to come. The time that's passed has passed. And we can't bring it back. It's too difficult. So if we pass our life incorrectly, Allah's given a chance today, then save yourself from hellfire. Save yourself from hellfire. That's it. One chance. One chance, and that chance is this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have to promise to Allah now. We have to promise to Allah, what do we have to do? What do we have to do? Promise to Allah. That's it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what do we have to do with Allah? Make a pact. Make an agreement. Allah ta'ala, I've scanned myself. Allah, there's too many sins. Allah, I'm in your court. Allah, you give me a chance. The person who promises to Allah, he will be forgiven. He will be forgiven. Remember this clearly. Who will be forgiven? The person who promises Allah, who makes the contract with Allah today on Laylatul Qadr. Because Laylatul Qadr came for the believer to make a contract. The sister, the brother, the man, the woman. And the person who doesn't make the contract today, he can go in prostration all night long, cry, shriek out, scream, read Quran. But he doesn't promise to Allah, he's wasted Laylatul Qadr. He's wasted, and he will have to answer on the Day of Judgment for these questions. So what do we have to promise today to Allah? Brothers, we have to promise to Allah, Allah, I am here, my Lord. My life has passed. I can't answer for that. I've wasted my time, Allah. I've wasted my time. Allah, today on Laylatul Qadr, for the duration of Laylatul Qadr and the life that will continue until the rest of my life, Allah, my situation is in front of you. Allah, I've not done anything. I've wasted my life. All my life was passed in sins, Allah. I accept this. Allah Ta'ala, accept this. Allah, I make one promise though, Allah. I make one promise today that upon your rahmah, mercy, in the shade of your mercy, from today, inshallah, from today, I will not repeat these sins again. Subhanallah, that's it. You have to have courage to say this tonight. Wherever you're standing, change your life at the same time. Change your life. Wherever you're sitting or standing, when you've put your hands up, like this today, then change your life straight away. Don't tomorrow morning go back to that same place where you commit the sins. Because Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, we should be hopeful of Allah's mercy. Because two things we'll get today, either hellfire or paradise. That's the result of tonight. And only that person will today puts his hand up, promises, and tomorrow morning he doesn't go to that place or he doesn't do those actions against which he promised to Allah that I won't do these unlawful actions again. There's no deceit. No deception. 3 hours you do dua on Laylatul Qadr in Arabic, Farsi, Persian, Urdu, Punjabi, Gujarati. You're crying, Allah, this and that. And then you go back to your lawful actions. Next morning, same haram. Same deception, same dhulam, same oppression, same fraud, same cheat, same haram, same dunya, same darkness. And you're happy. Oh, past Laylatul Qadr. I can't understand. How can a person... who is given Laylatul Qadr, when we have Khatamul Quran, why is the masjid full at that time? We have to go 10-15 minutes before to the masjid on the day of Khatamul Quran, Laylatul Qadr. Why is this? Because we want Allah Ta'ala to forgive us. Subhanallah. It's a laugh. That is a tradition. That how are you going to get forgiven? This Shaykh's come, he's going to do dua, all of us are going to be forgiven. We're going Laylatul Qadr. Tonight is going to happen in every masjid. Khatamul Quran, Shaykh, Sahib's there, scholars there, do dua. The forgiveness is a personal thing. What's this scholar or Shaykh going to do for you? How does he know what is your loss with your Rabb? Where you are stuck? What are your sins? What you are doing in the world? What you're not doing? That's just a general dua on Laylatul Qadr and Khatamul Quran. The true gham and pain and losses, if you waste these 2-3 hours Laylatul Qadr, sit in the corner on your own, isolation. Take off your topis in your home, just have your vest on and put the shara libas, your attire on, and cry, Allah, I've come to you, Allah, with your libas. 1.5 hours is left, Allah. Laylatul Qadr, I know what I've done, Allah. I promised you, Allah, take my promise from tomorrow morning. The life will change, and inshallah, you pass your life with those good clothes, attire, and Allah will forgive you that night. Allah will forgive you. You don't need a gathering, company, long bayans and duas and drama and just clamor and noise. This is not what Laylatul Qadr for. Laylatul Qadr is a personal thing. Allah says it's between you and me, my servant. Do dua to me directly. Maybe you will say, Allah, forgive me, save me from hellfire, do all this. So you will be saved from hellfire at that time. Allah Ta'ala says, when you create the personal agreement with Allah and you accept, Allah Ta'ala says, you cannot be saved by the dua of the person in the masjid. This will not save you. This is a sensitive point I'm presenting to you. A masala, not a masala, a condition I'm explaining to you, my condition. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Is this truth or not what I'm saying? So how do we do this? Okay, I do dua. I will do that dua. I don't know what you need or what this brother needs. Or what sin is this person involved in? Or what thing is he going to ask for forgiveness from his Rabb? Or what sin is he stuck in? What do I know about all the people who are sitting here? I don't know. I'll say, Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fil akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar. I will do dua for myself, and I'll ask for myself, and for you, all your issues and problems, how do I know about them? Allah Ta'ala says, only that person will be forgiven, who takes the right solution this night. So, a person that person on this night, the masjid, he's here. He may not know what to ask of, but a person goes into isolation. Take off your normal libas and wear the libas of the kafan, the white sheet. Alhamdulillah, this is our libas of the kafan. We have a dhoti, we have a kameez on top, and straight sit in front of Allah. Allah, I've taken my tar off, I've come in ihram, I've put my ihram on of hajj today, Allah. Mamullah, make me do tawaf today. Make me do tawaf today, Allah. Alhamdulillah, you'll do tawaf. And not in Baytul Haram, you'll be in Baytul Atiq in the heavens, alhamdulillah. And you'll do tawaf to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that night. If you do tawbah correctly. So brothers, this is the tariqah, my friends, for me and for you. Present your deeds, the person who's got understanding and the person who doesn't want to understand. Summun bukumun umyun. The Quran is decided that these dalims, you can't make them understand. When their eyes burst open wide and their mouth will burst open wide and they will see death and they will departing from the world, they've made their lords, their gods, they've made their masjids and they've got their own Quran, their own way of life. You can't explain to these people. They're stuck in their ways. Allah says, both things, both parts. But the message has come, is being distributed. Listening, we have to do this. We have to do this. So let's do the dua to Allah. Let's pray Allah gives me and you the courage and teaches us and gives us the tawfiq to practice whatever we've heard, the sisters, the brothers, the men and the women. If you waste tonight, you've wasted the whole of Ramadan. The person who does tawbah today in the presence of Allah and takes the sohbat and he starts to disliking those places. He starts to dislike those places where he did sins. I dislike this place or this action. I've promised Allah I won't do this again. I won't. Then inshallah, we have got chance. Allah is Rabb, He is Kareem, He is Rahman, He is the Malik, He is the Khalik, everything's in His control. And you think He can't reform us? He just needs a hint and He changes the life of the people. And after that, the severity that comes, the problems that come, you've heard all this, that Allah Ta'ala says, keep listening, take the direction inshallah after Ramadan, keep listening to these bayans and the talks and the messages that Allah Ta'ala has given to us in this refreshing month of Ramadan with Allah's Al-Karam. And Fazal Allah has instilled these thoughts into my minds and I've presented them to you, shared them with you, very important points. Isn't it not? Is it not very important? So keep on revising, keep on listening. Otherwise you can listen to normal lectures, speeches, and I could speak to you about Laylatul Qadr and verses of Quran, wah, 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 mashallah, we leave and go. We have learned nothing. Would we benefit? No. The benefit is this, that what pains you and pinches you, and the wounds that come, when the wounds come and it gives you pain, then you know that the medicine is working. If you put the medicine on the wound and it's not helping you, then you should know that the wound is not being healed. But if it's pinching you, paining you, and you've got some thoughts and pain and regard, then you can say, Allah will change my life, I will not commit the sins again. So my brothers, let's do dua to Allah, that have courage, the time is short, the night is about to start, the night will finish quickly, so may Allah Ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to practice, ameen, do true tawbah, true repentance, Allah, do the dua that Rasulullah taught us on this night, that's the dua, this is the maqsad, this is the objective, wa akhiru da'wana, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.